This past week I was over at a meeting at the church offices in Edinburgh, and going for my train I discovered I just missed it and I had to wait another hour before I could get the train home. So I thought, well, rather than hang about the railway station, I'll go for a walk along Princes Street and the St James Centre and have a look at some of the shops. And I was in one of the shops when a salesman came up to me and said, "Can I help you?" And I, of course, as we all do, I said, "Oh, no thanks, I'm just looking." Really, that's a kind of coded message, I suppose, for "go away and leave me alone." The salesman, of course, just doing his job and trying to secure a sale. It's reminded me that so often in life that when we're in shops and situations like that, yes, we're interested, we are looking, but we're not willing at that stage to commit. You see people in newsagents, Smiths, and perhaps the magazine counter in Tesco and Asda, and they're kind of reading the magazines. They're interested, but they're not willing to commit to the purchase. We're curious, but we don't want someone coming up to us and pressurising us into making a purchase. We say, "I'm just looking, thanks." And that sense of just looking is what is at the heart of our gospel today. For ourselves, every bit as much as for the character at the centre of the story. And there's a strange series of things happen as Jesus passes through Jericho, as he passes on his way to Jerusalem. And they all have to do with this wee little man, Zacchaeus. A name that is the first oddity in the story, because Zacchaeus in Hebrew means clean, and that was precisely what this little man was not. He was the chief tax collector in Jericho, and that rendered him not clean, it rendered him an outcast. So Mr. Clean was really Mr. Unclean. His name is the opposite of his spiritual state in the eyes of his neighbours. He was a kind of walking oxymoron, I suppose. Dirty Mr. Clean. And in a marvellous statement in his gospel, Luke adds that he was also a wealthy man. Actually, given the location of Jericho, as I said to the children, right at the intersection of these two main trade routes, one going north-south, the other going east-west, it would be very difficult for the chief tax collector in that town not to be very rich. So add it up. Zacchaeus is the head tax collector of Jericho. He's in the thick of it with the Romans, the occupying Roman force. He's liable to be skimming off a whole bunch of money for himself. And in the process, he's making himself very, very rich. And of course, also in the process, he's making himself an outcast from his own people. Now, the next strange thing to happen is that we first notice Zacchaeus just as Jesus is making his way through Jericho. Jesus' destination, of course, is Jerusalem, and in Jerusalem, Golgotha, the place of the skull, where he was to die on the cross for your sins and mine. And for some reason, Zacchaeus was seeking to see, he was trying to see who Jesus really was. Was it curiosity? Was it that he'd heard some of the rumours about Jesus' habit of caring for outcasts? Was that what drew Zacchaeus to want to see Jesus? Who knows? But certainly Zacchaeus was curious that day when Jesus came to Jericho. The crowd was a big crowd, a bit like people perhaps on a procession. And you can imagine Zacchaeus at the back of the crowd trying to see the procession, leaping about, trying to see what was going on, and unable to see, he shinned up a sycamore tree, a very common tree, a sycamore fig tree. They were everywhere over the hillside in the land at that time. He thought climbing the tree was the perfect solution, for there he was, high above the noisy crowd. He was away from all the people who didn't like him, and he could still get a glimpse of Jesus from a safe distance. He didn't have any friends in the crowd, so he was as well up the tree as anywhere else. Zacchaeus, the chief tax collector for the occupying Roman government in this prosperous town, his position would have made him the most hated man in all of Jericho, working for the opposition, a traitor to his own people, making money off his neighbours as part of a system primed for corruption, obliged only to send what the Romans expected. Anything he took, his free to keep. Yes, he was wealthy. In his case, it's an indictment rather than a description. No one would make room for Zacchaeus. Who would want to be seen with him? And then that day, Jesus comes into town. The word has spread about Jesus. Zacchaeus is one of many, many, many people in Jericho who really secretly wanted to see Jesus that day. But I wonder, as he perched up that sycamore fig tree, what did Zacchaeus expect to see? Would he like what he saw in Jesus or not? On the one hand, he had heard, no doubt, that Jesus was known for eating and drinking with tax collectors and other sinners. Maybe he'd heard some of Jesus' stories passed on to him. He'd heard that in some of these stories it's the tax collector who's the hero and the Pharisee who's the fool. Maybe he's heard that this man Levi, a former tax collector, is among Jesus' closest followers. But on the other hand, maybe Zacchaeus has heard that Jesus told the rich man to sell everything he had and then follow him. Maybe he's heard Jesus' statement that it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And after all, Levi, Jesus' friend, had to leave behind his tax booth in order to follow this Jesus. So maybe the most we can say with confidence about Zacchaeus is that he was curious. There were mixed emotions going through his heart and his head as he considered Jesus. Yes, he wants to see Jesus, that's why he's up the tree, but he doesn't want to touch Jesus. He doesn't want a real face-to-face encounter. He doesn't want to touch him or be touched by him. He certainly doesn't come to him for healing. He's up the tree. He wants to observe from a safe distance. And up that tree, where he can watch the proceedings, Zacchaeus thinks he's safe. He's in a place where no one will confuse him with anyone else in the cheering crowd, where no one needs to know where he stands. He's where he can't be touched or touch. Where he is safe. If anyone spied him up the tree, he could just shout down to them, "I'm just looking, thank you." But you see, as I read this story, thinking about today, it occurred to me that Zacchaeus in this story is really you and me. Suddenly, this strange little man in the tree seems more familiar. Because don't we all have times when it's easier to stay in our tree, to watch the events of the world as spectators, rather than come down and get involved? Rather than come down among the crowd and the dirt and the noise and the needs and the confusion and put one foot in front of the other and follow Jesus, isn't it easier sometimes just to say, "I'm just looking," when we're asked to help or to give or to get involved? We keep our distance. I suppose that from this same passage we could have a different sermon for those among us who try to do everything, who need to learn to say no sometimes, who need to work on creating some more Sabbath time for ourselves. But for others of us, is it perhaps time to get more involved, to stop being a spectator up the tree and join in the action? Maybe it's time to take on some new ministry in the church, or to get involved with something else in the community around us. You know, sometimes getting involved in a church takes a massive leap of faith. It's a bit like jumping down out a tree. And lots of people do this kind of spiritual gypsy stuff. They do church shopping. They go around different churches seeing what's on offer. And that's not always a bad thing. Many of us have perhaps shopped our way around different churches, perhaps into the Church of Scotland, perhaps into a particular parish church, perhaps even coming to here, St. Leonard's. Perhaps we shopped around first before we came here. And yes, it's important. It's important for people to look around, to explore different faith communities, to find a place where they can worship and grow and participate and serve and be at home and yet also be challenged. But there's a danger sometimes that people don't ever come down out of the tree and say, this is it. Here I am, I'm getting involved here. Or in our faith lives, perhaps we want to see Jesus, and that's a good thing, but do we keep Jesus at arm's length, at a safe distance from us? Do we simply want to ponder him from afar, rather than meet him and come to know him and love him and serve him and be challenged and changed by him? Do we keep Jesus at arm's length, rather than grow more and more into his likeness? In his image? Do we keep him at arm's length rather than discover the real meaning of our lives through a deep relationship with him, empowered by prayer, nourished by participation in the faith community, nourished through the sacraments? Do we simply keep Jesus at arm's length? That day in Jericho, on that busy trade route, Jesus walked into town and looked up the particular sycamore fig tree Zacchaeus was in. And he saw the little man clinging to the branches, and he commanded him to hurry down because he needed him. Jesus needed Zacchaeus' hospitality. He needed his welcome. He needed his company. Jesus, of all the people who were in Jericho that day, Jesus plucked Zacchaeus out of the tree as you would pluck a piece of fruit. And Zacchaeus discovered he was happy to welcome him. Now, Zacchaeus could have said no. It would have cost Zacchaeus much less to say no. It certainly would have attracted less attention. It would have prevented the townspeople from having just one more reason to grumble about Zacchaeus. And we know that it may seem easier to go on with our own lives and continue with our own preoccupations with ourselves, to continue with our own agendas, rather than allowing the Messiah to invite himself to lunch, rather than allowing him to delve into our truest selves. It might be easier to say, I'm just looking, thank you. But if we're honest, we know from experience that it's not easier to go on with our own preoccupations. It's not easier to try to take care of our worries ourselves. That actually there is a tremendous ease and grace in letting Jesus take our burdens from us, lifting them away as we give ourselves to Christ, letting Christ set our agendas. It really is easier to stop scrambling up trees and allow ourselves to know the one who loves us completely, who knows us completely and still loves us. And like Zacchaeus, we can take the chance and invite Jesus in and watch the radical realigning of our lives begin. Zacchaeus' life changes greatly because of his encounter with Jesus. Something in that meeting changed the way Zacchaeus saw the world. Now he could see people all around him, people who were in need, whereas before he only saw people he could use. And that's part of what happens when we come out of the tree and allow Jesus to touch us. Whereas before we might just have been looking, Jesus enables us to really see. Now we see real people with real needs. We see real opportunities to get involved. We see true beauty in other people. We see the astonishing array of gifts God has given us and our community. That day, salvation came to Zacchaeus' house. And Zacchaeus was forever changed from a taker into a giver. And yet Zacchaeus is not unique. Normally on this Sunday we'd be celebrating and thinking about All Saints Day, thinking about the saints of God who have gone before us. And yet you and I are God's living saints if we allow Jesus to be at work in our lives. Zacchaeus is not unique. We see his story over and over and over again as people welcome Jesus into their lives. And when Jesus finds a home with us, the result is a generous heart. Giving becomes a joy, not a burden. What's given may be money, or it may be time, or it may be some ability that we can share. But time and time again, when Jesus plucks us out of our tree, we ripen into givers, not takers. We become workers, not watchers. We become people who serve, not people who observe. Jesus isn't coming to Dunfermline today because he's already here. He may be looking up at you this morning, inviting you out of some safe, lonely perch, and instead inviting you into the kingdom of God. Amen.